Today's Transmissions podcast is brought to you by 80stees.com. 80stees.com has an incredible selection of Transformers shirts and hoodies, including some amazing Transformers costume hoodies. Transform into Grimlock, Megatron, or even Optimus Prime with the 80stees.com costume hoodies. Transmissions has been around for one whole year. To celebrate our anniversary, we're going to be giving away some stuff. Windblade stuff, to be exact. Transmissions is giving you a chance to win the Windblade action figure with packed-in comic, as well as the official trade paperback of the Windblade miniseries, signed by none other than Windblade writer Marigrid Scott and artist Sarah Stone. And if that wasn't enough for you, we're also giving you a chance to guest host on a future episode of Transmissions. We're not joking. Be a guest host on Transmissions and have your own chance to talk toys with Daryl, geek out on comics with Jeremy, walk down G1 memory lane with Yoshi, and of course, get corrected by Charles. To enter and have a chance to win all this amazing stuff, send us a 60-second or less MP3 audio clip of yourself telling us about your favorite moment from our first year of podcasting Transmissions. Or, if you're super new to the show, share with us your favorite memory from any aspect of the 30-year history of Transformers. The top 10 clips will be played on a future show where we'll announce the winning entry. So record your clips and get them into us as soon as possible. Email all audio clips to contest@transmissionspodcast.com. Past Transmissions guests and any professionals working on past or current Transformers work are ineligible. Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk about all news, toys, and comic books related to the Transformers!
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that has connections in Japan. I'm your host, Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team, Yusuf, better known as Yoshi. Wait.
Crickets. Crickets.
Oh, too soon?
No. It's okay. We're moving on. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Howdy.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Let's talk Transformers.
All right. So due to a scheduling mix-up, Yoshi could not join us for this episode, but he will be back in the next episode. So don't worry. He hasn't been fired. But we have a special guest, and we're going to talk to him a little bit. So, Jeremy, why don't you introduce our special guest?
All right. Yeah, our special guest is Mike Kinney, a.k.a. Dak Rowland. I first met him about in the early 2000s in the Icon Hub chat, and we've been friends since then. And he's been living in Japan the past few years, and we thought it'd be neat to have him on and talk about what it's like being a U.S. fan living in Japan. And he recently went to the Transformers Expo. And so we just wanted to find out how that was, and we just thought it'd be fun to have him on and just talk to him for a while. So welcome to the show, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm glad our schedules could match up.
Yeah, we tried to get this last week, but schedules on my end were a little crazy, so I'm glad we could reschedule it.
Plus, you've got me like 14 hours in the future, 13 hours in the future here, so...
Well, Japan is a land of wonder.
Oh, yes.
So I guess to start off, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, your history with the Transformers and a little bit about what you're into right now?
Well, actually, my history goes all the way back to the very beginning. I was about 11, 12 years old when Transformers first hit the scene. And I was first introduced to it at my friend's birthday party where he got a Soundwave. And me and all of my friends wanted it. And it pretty much started from there. Got my first toy. It was a Constructicon Hook and also an Autobot Jazz, and just kind of snowballed from that point. I pretty much was in the fandom straight up until high school. And then you kind of hide it in the closet because you don't want kids picking on you.
Right.
But what was kind of unusual about collecting Transformers when I was a kid is it was one toy that I actually took care of. You know, I beat the hell out of my Star Wars toys, destroyed my G.I. Joes, but my Transformers were like, I'd handle them with white gloves, you know, that kind of thing. So I still have most of those today. I got back into Transformers around 2000, a little bit before 2000, when I started working at an internet company and discovered the world of Transformers fandom on the internet. A dark and seedy world, yes, but still a ton of information that I never even knew before, and it just sort of rekindled that desire to get back into it again. So I pulled that box out of the closet, and really things started to pick up when I discovered eBay and started collecting all the different various ones that I'd missed over the years, and got into Car Robots and Beast Wars. I kind of got into late. I had seen it on TV, but I kind of scoffed at it because I thought, oh, geez, animals that turn into robots? Come on, what's that? Then I actually watched
the show. I think that was pretty common.
Yeah, then I actually watched the show and discovered, whoa, hey, this is actually pretty cool. So ever since that point, I pretty much any variation or iteration of Transformers that's come out, I've been interested in. Some have not been my cup of tea, but I've pretty much been watching it ever since then.
Were you ever into the comics?
I collected the original Marvel comics. Not the entire run, though. I actually got up to about, I think it was the Seacons, the Underbase saga.
Mm-hmm.
And I dropped out of the comics at that point because my local grocery store stopped carrying them. But that was pretty much it. I haven't even finished reading the whole series yet, so I hope to someday.
We've been going through the classic Marvel series. It's actually Yoshi's area, and just issue by issue. I think we're in the 40s now or 30s.
Yeah, I don't know what issue.
Yeah, we just finished 37, and then we're doing the Headmasters series right now. The mini series.
Yeah, I collected the Headmasters issues, the 4-issue mini series, and the they had the Transformers Universe 4-issue
like profiles,
kind of like encyclopedia of characters.
Yeah,
I got that too when I was still into it.
Cool.
I've been around for a while. You could call me an old man if you want to, but you know.
Well, what kind of stuff are you into right now? Like, have you been getting like the movie toys and Generations toys?
Actually, the Masterpiece toys have been kind of my favorite thing to get. The Generations toys are pretty good too. The movie toys really haven't been much interest to me, but some of the older toys and some of the pre-Transformers are starting to interest me now. In fact, there's a shop near here that's got a Mechabot 1 that I'm kind of interested in getting, but I don't have the money for it right now. And I don't know
Which one was that?
Mechabot 1 is what became Omega Supreme.
Ooh.
And this is a boxed, nice, pristine example of a Mechabot 1. So.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. Mm-hmm. They're expensive over here right now.
Yeah, they're not cheap over here either. I think this seller wants somewhere close to around $300 for it.
Well, yeah, that's about actually that's a good deal for mm-hmm. For over here anyway, because mm-hmm. I think a boxed Omega is about that.
Yeah, I picked up one of the Encore release Omega Supremes. I have an original one back home. It's still in storage, but I found
where's that storage locker?
I'll tell you, it's in Washington, the state of Washington, Seattle, I think. You might have to dig down about 700 feet to get to it. I'm not sure.
Oh, damn it. That's too much work.
Yeah,
you need
to Yeah, I saw your house before you moved. I was amazed that you were able to store all those toys.
What you saw wasn't all of them, because I actually didn't have shelving space for all of the toys. A lot of them were in boxes, so... And then, of course, my wife right now is every time I mention shipping the Transformers over here to Japan, she just goes, "No, sell them, sell them." And of course,
there's not that much space in Japan.
Here. Well, we actually have a spare bedroom, but no, she doesn't want me to use that for that.
So what Masterpiece figures have you gotten yourself over there?
The three Masterpiece figures I've got are Smokescreen, Soundwave, and Rodimus Prime.
Nice.
Yeah, Rodimus Prime, I don't really like the figure that much because I think they got one of the early runs that doesn't transform right.
Yeah, it has issues.
Yeah, but tell you what, Soundwave, that is a sweet piece. That is absolutely, if anyone's listening and hasn't gotten one of these, what's wrong with you?
Like me.
It is an awesome figure.
I've been chasing one, yeah. They came over here to through the Hasbro release, and they came with all the cassettes, right? But they came in such limited quantity, right? So, I mean, I live in a city of 400,000 people, and at the time we only had one Toys R Us store, and that one store got four of them.
Oh my god!
That lasted all of 30 minutes. Maybe.
Oh man. I don't know if I don't know. I haven't been to our Toys R Us recently, but you know, we've got 600,000 people in the city of Kagoshima. We have one Toys R Us store, but they didn't fly off the shelves here. So I had some time, and I was able to go back and get one like a month after I saw it.
Do you guys get the Hasbro versions over there at the Toys R Us, or do you guys still have, with being in Japan, do you get the Takara versions at Toys R Us?
Well, there's a toy shop in the shopping mall where I have one of my English lessons. They get right now they've got the new movie toys, and basically it's the Hasbro packaging, and they put a Japanese sticker on the front.
Okay.
So I think it's essentially the same. They may take out the English instructions and put in the Japanese instructions.
Yeah.
But I think those versions are pretty much the same. The only difference is, like I said, the sticker and the instructions on the inside.
What would the cost retail would you say would be on a on the smokescreen when you got it?
Probably around $50, maybe $60.
That's a good deal. That's a good
It's
deal.
Been a while.
That's since comparable.
What's nice around here is that you don't have to just go to a toy store like Toys R Us to find Transformers. There's They have a lot of places like they call electric shops. They're basically electronics stores, but they're more than just electronics.
Okay.
Some of them, like Yamada Denki, has a little grocery store, and they've got the electronics shop, and then they've got a little toy and game section. Mm-hmm. And that's where I got Smokescreen from, was at Yamada Denki.
That's cool.
Soundwave and Rodimus Prime, I got both of those at Toys R Us.
Mm-hmm.
And they were about, let's see, Rodimus Prime was about, I'd say about $130.
Really?
And Soundwave was about $120 when I got him.
Yeah, that was what he was here.
Mm-hmm.
Rodimus, for whatever reason, went clearance over here.
Mm-hmm.
And we were picking him up for $50. But yeah.
If only I'd known that.
Yeah, no, I mean, nobody would have guessed it, right? But yeah.
Probably got out that there were problems with the toy.
I think so.
And I think it's justifiable because there were some issues with that. And I've got him transformed into robot mode. He's not going into vehicle mode ever again as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
His trailer is in the box in the closet right now.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, I think, Jeremy, I think I found a new friend for myself. I'm gonna send Mike here. I'm gonna send him my contact information, and I think I'm gonna start getting some, you know, some conversations going back and forth here. Because you know what, we're kindred spirits.
Awesome. I know Mike's helped me out with some of those Kabaya kits.
Oh yeah,
okay.
He sent me over. I think it was Fort Max.
The Fort Max, and didn't I send you
either
the Road Caesar kit?
No.
No?
I have Fort Max, Prowl, and Ultra Magnus.
Okay.
I got one of either Prowl or Ultra Magnus. I got one at a convention. I think you gave me one, or I paid for it.
But I didn't send you Prowl or Ultra Magnus. I did send you Fort Max.
Oh, well, Fort Max was three, so that might have been...
Yeah, that was a three box kit. Yeah. That was a really big one, too.
It's the only Fort Max I've ever had.
I was quite amazed that the Kabaya kits are, you know, for what they are, they're really nice.
I know.
If you get some paint and some, you know, panel line pens and some time, you can make those things look really sweet.
I was just amazed that they could transform as well as they did.
Oh, yeah.
If people don't know what we're talking about, they're just little, basically little model kits you assemble. I mean, in the box is just sprues of pieces you break off and put together.
And a piece of gum, which is probably the worst tasting gum I've ever had in my life.
Right.
It's lemon. No, it's not.
They're worse than like baseball card bubble gum.
I'd say it's in the same league, but in Chiclet style.
Right.
The current kits that are out, I think, are they have I forgot the names now. I'm such a terrible fan. The two Decepticon planes that combine together their Power Masters.
Darkwing and Dreadwind.
Yes, that's it.
This is why we keep Charles around.
Yeah.
They've got that kit out, and the last one before this series was the Road Caesar kit, where they had the three race cars that combine into Road Caesar.
So the Power Master ones actually will come with a little Power Master
figure, yep.
It
doesn't trigger anything. It just fits into the socket,
right.
So it has the right look.
I remember with 4 Max, they actually do have the Headmaster gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
How big are these model kits?
They can be about 4 to 5 inches tall when in robot mode. Fort Max was more around the area of, I think, 8 or 9 inches tall.
Okay.
And he came with a really tiny Power Glide figure that also transformed.
Right.
And Power Glide was about 1/2 inch tall.
Wow.
So you want to talk about a micron.
Right. Yeah, well, if they're getting into Power Masters, it's only a matter of time before they do, Power Master Prime.
Yeah, they already did Power Master Prime.
Oh, they did?
This was a few months back, or a few years back, I think. I saw a video of it, but I didn't see it in the store, so either I missed it or it happened before I got here. But it was a Power Master Prime with a God Bomber. So you got God Master Prime. Or God Master Convoy.
God Jinrai.
Jinrai.
That's cool.
But, these kits, they're usually pretty affordable, but they got the Max or Mega kits, and like the Fort Max, those are generally a lot more expensive. So
the ones that I keep seeing over here at the toy shows, the dealers are still pushing the combiner kits. So it's the Scramble City guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the funny part is, they're never complete. You don't have any of the limbs. It's just the centerpieces.
Yeah, I've picked up Silverbolt and Motormaster and Onslaught, and they released the limbs, the other members of each team in smaller set kits. Usually there's 6 robots that you can buy, and they're numbered. They call them blind boxes, but they're really not blind boxes because they have the numbers showing through a window.
Okay.
So you can just look at the box and go, I need number 6. Okay, here he is, number 6.
Mm-hmm.
They're generally a lot more cheaper than the main kits, but they don't release them that often. And I've gotten 2 of the ones for the Protectobots and then couldn't find any more. And then the ones for the Aerial Bots, I got all of those. I got all 6. But again, those are the only 2 series I've seen that have been released so far. And I know there's been other ones. I think the Combaticons already came out once.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of try to keep my eyes open whenever I go to certain grocery stores because these are gum kits. They only sell them in grocery stores.
Really?
And if they don't have the gum in them, then sometimes you'll find them in other stores.
Okay.
But there's one particular store over here in Japan that usually carries these Kabaya kits all the time, and that's Taiyo. So anyone who's listening who lives in Japan, check Taiyo.
I wish Hasbro would bring those over to the U.S. because they could have them in stores like Michael's that has hobby kits and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they would go over pretty well.
Yeah, ditch the gum and just sell them as mini model kits. I think they'd really go fast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd be spending anywhere from about $3 up to $15 for the kits, so they could be kind of pricey. They might go cheaper in the States, I don't know, but that's about how much you spend over here for them.
The another thing that was really popular at least a year ago, maybe even a little longer than that, was these, I believe they were found in, over here we call them like gumball machines or whatever. But I believe from a friend of mine who lives in Japan as well, he referred to them as something else completely different. But he said that these machines are very popular.
the machines are the name of the machines are based on the onomatopoeia, which describes the sound that they make, and they're called gachapon.
Yes, that's right.
And I actually happen to have a gachapon ball right here.
Oh, there you go. That's right. That's the sound. And the one thing that everyone was clamoring for were these bulkhead figures. But they wanted two of them because they were really small. The
bulkhead knuckles.
The bulkhead knuckles. Because, yeah, they've basically made Hulk hands for any kind of figure. And, I mean, people were selling these things for $5 a piece because they were, you know, they were tiny. But man, these things, people couldn't get them fast enough. And even the guy I had over there could not find these things. So
yeah. I don't usually find a lot of Transformers gachapon machines very often. There's one shopping mall where I have another classroom where I teach at that has, I have found on two separate occasions Transformers gachapon, but right now none. It's very difficult to find them. If we go up to Tokyo, it's a lot more easy to find us. And at the expo that we went to, they had the gachapon machines with the keychains.
Oh, okay.
Little rubber figurines of the movie characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go buy a couple. So I actually wound up getting Optimus Prime and I got Drift.
Cool.
So kind of segueing into the expo, what was it like?
Well, it was a big crowd. I was quite impressed.
It was open for like over a week, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went to the very first day. It started at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, which is definitely different than any of the BotCons I'd been to in the past. There was a long line of people sitting down on the floor inside the convention hall. And of course, I don't know if anyone's ever gone to a picnic in Japan, but usually people bring these white or blue tarps to sit down on the ground. And so people were laying those out on the floor, taking off their shoes and sitting on the tarps. The line actually looped around inside the building, then went outside the building. And we just happened to be lucky enough to get in line just outside the doors. And with probably about an hour, we were actually moving and going into the convention itself. And the convention or the expo was set up in kind of three sections. The very first section was kind of a very dark, almost like a funhouse type of atmosphere. And each of the exhibits were lit by sort of spotlights. So you're walking around a very dark space, and then these displays are very brightly lit. And the first thing I saw was this big display of all of the leader character toys from Generation 1 through to the current movie. So, you know, one of my Holy Grails is always been Star Saber, and here he is, like an arm's reach away. No, don't touch him. But
are you going to go for that masterpiece?
Definitely. I actually have the expo book, which shows how they designed all the exhibits in the expo, and one of the parts in the book shows the test or the prototype of Star Saber, and they had the painted prototype on display at the convention. You'll probably find it in my photos. And it is sweet looking. It was definitely the right choice to do for this anniversary masterpiece. And he will be a brain master. So that's one thing I was hoping they were going to be able to do. And they've definitely got it down. But to continue the first section you go through, they had these big flat underlit tables. And it was basically a timeline. And they started showing the Diaclone Convoy and the Microman Walther P-38, which in the next box next to them, they show the Optimus Prime and Megatron. Now, Transformers history in Japan starts 1 year after America, because if anyone knows their history, Hasbro licensed the toys from Takara and a couple other companies to bring to the United States. Marvel created the story, essentially. And then Sunbow Productions created the cartoon, and that was in 1984. And, of course, the next year, Takara brought it back to Japan, redubbed the cartoon, and that's when Transformers really started in Japan, was 1985. So their history, their timeline begins in 1985. It's interesting trying to explain this to a lot of the Japanese fans here, because many of them don't realize it started in America the year before. And so they're quite surprised by that news. But then the tables, as you go down the tables, you see every new leader. So, of course, you had Optimus Prime, Rodimus Prime, and then Fortress Maximus, and then continuing on down the row. And it was a very interesting display. And at the end of the tables, they had this giant AllSpark cube surrounded by five screens showing scenes from the first live-action movie. And that leads you into these diorama areas where you see the Bumblebee car and displays of Chicago after the end of the third movie. And all of this is you know, a combination of 30th anniversary plus a big sales pitch for the fourth movie.
Right.
So it's all leading into the main expo hall where you see life-size statues of Bumblebee and of Optimus Prime. And the cars from the current movie were on display there. So you could see the Lamborghini, which was locked down. You could see the Corvette, which was Crosshairs. And, of course, the useless boyfriend's rally car or drift car. That car was there.
Everyone was expecting that car to be a Transformer.
You know, I was too, because here's a funny story. The night before we flew up to Tokyo to go to the expo, I wanted to go see the movie. But my local movie theater has showings of the movie in English and in Japanese. But the English showings were early in the morning and afternoon, and I was not done with work until late at night. So I didn't really want to go and see it with the Japanese dialogue. I wanted to see it with the English dialogue. So I hadn't seen the movie yet before I went to the expo. And so I didn't know about this car. I'm looking at it. Oh, I wonder what kind of Transformer this becomes. And it becomes crushed metal, basically, I think.
Yeah.
But the cars were very nice. I definitely liked Lamborghini.
Do they have the Bugatti there?
They had the Bugatti there, too. Who's the Bugatti? That's Drift. That's they didn't have the Bugatti there.
Yeah.
Who's the other one? I wish they had had Hound there. I would love to have seen that truck. But that was the main expo hall is sort of made really wide open space because in one corner they had a stage set up. And at a later point in the day, they had a couple of live shows on stage. And the first live show was basically the big grand opening. And they had a famous Japanese talent on stage. His name was So Takei. Not related to George Takei. this guy, his basically talents here in Japan are people who have a certain character or shtick that they do. And this guy's shtick is that he's like a powerful, strong guy, and always is challenging people to races or strongman events. And they also had three girls come on stage who they called the Transformers Idols, which I didn't really understand the point of that. But then again, this is Japan. land of AKB-48. So they had this big stage show and they had a couple guys come out in these cardboard transforming costumes of Optimus and Bumblebee. And there's a lot of people that were sitting in the benches in front of me that were geeking out over this. And I thought it was quite amusing. But my favorite section of the expo was the history section where they had on display, starting with Diaclone, Microman, and the Toy Box toys. You'd go year by year by year, toy line by toy line, going down through the line as it appeared in Japan. And they had a lot of Diaclone pre-Transformers toys that I had never seen up close. And of course, it's behind glass, but they clean the glass every so often because people's nose marks and smudges and stuff obscure it. But the best part was seeing the prototypes and test shots that never made it to market, such as the most awful Unicron I've ever seen in my life.
I think I've seen pictures of that online.
I'd never seen it until I went to the expo. That was my very first time. And I was just looking at this thing and thinking, thank God they never made that. It's just awful.
Yeah, when they finally got around to making a Unicron, I think they did a pretty good job.
I think so, but they also had the Beast Wars Neo Unicron on display there. The prototype for that we've seen and drooled over the pictures of.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a couple pieces have broken off of it. They were just sitting on the shelf next to the figure. And I'm thinking, oh, man, guys, come on, take care of this thing. But I'd never been so close to it. But I think the one thing I was the most surprised about was how small it is. it was probably about 13 or 14 inches tall. It wasn't very big. It's much smaller than the Unicron we got finally through Armada. And there was a couple other surprising prototypes on display, such as the Beast Wars Optimus Prime with realistic hair. Now, if any of you know who the G.I. Joes were back in the late 70s and 80s, they had the realistic hair and beards. Now, imagine that all over the original Optimus Primal. That prototype was made, and it looks impressive, but I can see why they didn't do it, because that is probably going to be the worst mess when everything starts flaking off and falling off the figure.
Yeah, I can imagine they have this whole new aspect and they want kids to buy in, and that would just probably fall apart real quickly.
Yeah, I can definitely see that becoming a problem. So I'm glad they went with the painted fur instead of the G.I. Joe fur. But it was an interesting prototype to see, because I'd never thought that they would even consider doing something like that. And there is the proof right there.
And that was labeled as Optimus Prime, not Optimus Primal?
It was actually Convoy.
Great. I forgot, in Japan and Beast Wars, it was actually Convoy.
Yeah, it's been Convoy up until the first live-action movie, at which point they started calling him Optimus Prime. So even in Transformers Animated, which came over here, and Transformers Prime, they call his character Optimus Prime. But anything right before the first live-action movie, his name is Convoy.
Right, but I think in Japan, the character of Optimus Primal is actually Optimus Prime. I think I remember that.
Actually, let me take a look in the book, because it's got the history right here.
Is that book in both Japanese and English?
No, you're just Japanese.
Just Japanese.
So do you know how Japanese fans feel about that name change? Do they prefer Convoy to Optimus Prime?
I have not yet actually had a discussion about that particular change with any Japanese fans yet.
Okay.
Nope, the Optimus Primal toys are called Convoy. So Optimus Primal, Convoy, Transmetals Optimus Prime is Hafto Convoy. Unfortunately, my translator has fallen asleep, so I can't ask her. Okay. Even Beast Machines Optimus Primal is called Convoy.
Right. So I think, you know, because those tie in with G1 in continuity, I think in Japan, it was just actually Optimus Prime.
Yep. In 2007, when the first movie came out, that's when they start using Optimus Prime. And so Animated, Prime, even the, which version is that? That's not a Masterpiece toy, sorry. The Generations, what they call the Classics Optimus Prime, right, they called Convoy in 2008. That's the only example of Convoy used since 2007 that I can see.
Wow.
Thank you, book.
In this last picture that I sent you here with the fuzzy primal, what are the three on top shelf there? I mean, we were talking about it on the show, but I can't read Japanese, so I had no idea what these were.
Okay, let me take a look real quick. Actually, trying to find my... Oh, there it is. Okay. That last picture you sent?
Yeah.
Okay. It's opening up right now. I'm trying to find it. My pictures, too.
Yeah.
There it is.
Jeremy, I don't think they make Optimus Primal the same character of Optimus Prime in Beast Wars, because they did redub the cartoon.
Well, yeah, in the U.S., they're separate characters.
Yeah, but they did dub the 3D cartoon in Japan. Right. And in that cartoon, you have Optimus Prime, you know, in the past, and
right,
Optimus Primal has to absorb his spark and everything. So I think they still keep them as separate characters, because it wouldn't...
I'm going to the wiki.
Now, of course, I'm looking at the toy names that they have in the book here, and they do say Convoy. Okay, I got that picture open now. The three toys at the top?
Yeah.
Okay, the one on the top left is actually the initial prototype sculpt for, I think it's Torca, okay, which is the Fusor from the Beast Wars line.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one next to it is the test shot version prototype of Torca, where they actually designed the transformation or transforming figure. The one next to that is the big giant head of Megatron. Okay. I think that is a test test sculpt for the details. Because remember, the original Beast Wars toys had monster masks that would open up or close over the heads of the characters, like Megatron and Primal.
Oh, did
and
they?
Megatron's looked like bat wings, and I think most everyone took those bat wings off.
Okay.
So that might have just been an enlarged sculpt to make a detailed for, because a lot of those figures had like the blood and veins detailing on the inside of the shells.
Yeah.
And so they would make those larger versions and then reduce them in
in that makes
the
sense.
CG. So
yeah, I never got into Beast Wars, so yeah, it's all that stuff is kind of, you know, unknown to me. But it makes sense now after you've explained it now.
Yeah, and remember too, I don't know if you ever heard the interviews with or talked with Aaron Archer from Hasbro when he was still there. A lot of the design that they would do, Hasbro would design, make the drawings of the characters in alternate modes, and then fax those over to Tokyo, to Takara's headquarters. And then the designers there would then hand draw the characters again, and then hand draw the blow up of all the parts and how everything would fit together. They'd send that back and forth a few times until everything was refined. And then they would actually make the physical sculpts. I think also they would transfer those hand drawings into CAD at some stage, and it would eventually get into the computer where they could make the final adjustments for everything. But that Torka that's on the top left there is probably one of the earliest stages. I'd never seen one of those prototypes before until this expo, so it was the first time for me to see it too.
Yeah, no, it's very cool.
Actually, the sign says Torka. I don't know why I didn't just read the sign.
the Torka stuff, I had no idea about it. But the Megatron one, I was completely confused by. It definitely looks like Megatron's head, but with the whole wings thing, it definitely threw me off. I had no idea what it was at that point.
Yeah, I think that monster masks thing they did for the first series release, the first year. And then they just dropped it after that because it there was no point to it.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the show at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, they never used the monster masks in the show. And I think it was just one of those play features that they threw in there thinking, oh, yeah, this will be cool. And then it didn't really make any difference. So they just dropped it.
Yeah, seeing these prototypes from the expo, these were some of the coolest pictures that came out of the expo for me personally.
Yeah.
The one that's that really got me, and I'll send it to you here, but you probably got a much better picture of it, was
is that the Rodimus Prime?
No, it's the Rodimus Prime looked good, but I mean that toy is a horrendous toy to begin with. I mean, it's just a brick. But the Alternator's Jazz, or that thing looks so pretty, you know. And I commented on.
It's not even a painted prototype. It's still the gray prototype.
Yeah. And they just stuck a Autobot sticker on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I commented on the show that I think that particular mold could probably use a couple modern upgrades, but it's probably ready to be made into a full-scale masterpiece at this point. You know, it looks that good, I think.
Oh, yeah. I like it. I it was one of the figures that caught my eye, too. Although I think my attention was still drawn away by the Beast Wars Unicron or Beast.
Oh yeah, that's epic! That's so epic! It's huge.
But you can kind of see if you look at that picture to the left there, you can see the Optimus Primal 2, or I forgot his name, standing to the left there. You then realize how small this Neo Unicron really is.
Mm-hmm.
And I was quite surprised because a lot of the photos I saw, it looked huge. And the reasoning that Takara gave for not producing the toy was that they said it was expensive or would be too expensive to produce. And I'm looking at this thing now and I'm thinking, man, this is smaller than the Unicron we actually got.
Right. Yeah. So was that small and still too expensive?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what might have been?
Right. Yeah.
There's a lot of what might have been. I did like one of the other other prototypes of Rodimus Prime that I saw on the bottom shelf there. Now, you had the one on the left was the toy we pretty much got, but towards the right is a Rodimus Prime that was an early prototype. The trailer, obviously, is not good, but the figure looked pretty neat. Mm-hmm. And if you looked at it, he actually had jointed elbows, so he could like actually bend at the elbow. And other than the head, I thought it was a pretty nice figure. But I don't know why they didn't go with that design direction. Instead, went with the one we got. But.
Yeah, I don't have a good copy of that picture at my fingertips right now, so I'm not. I actually do.
So let me send you a link, or actually, I'll send you a link. I don't know if you can see it though.
Yeah, in the chat here if it's available.
I got to grab it from my Facebook album.
Okay.
It would take too much time to wait for my iPhoto to open up and see it. So okay, here we go. There it is. I'll drop this photo into the chat. I don't know if it'll work.
Yeah, I think you can send files.
Okay,
good. It's sending now. Everybody can download this picture, right?
Should be.
Yeah, mine's downloading.
Cool.
Yeah, it looks like it's coming from me.
Yeah, it's on its way.
Oh, cool.
Got it.
So you can see, if you take a look at that picture, that Rodimus Prime actually looks pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, proportions are a little weird, but... You know, bending at the elbows. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Something little novel at that point. Maybe even knees. There looks like a joint there.
Mm-hmm. So
the trailer is really different.
Yeah, the trailer definitely, I can understand why they didn't go with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty bad.
Uh-huh.
But I think a lot of these figures go through several iterations before they finally settle on a design.
Mm-hmm. What was the ball beside him?
The ball? Oh, that was Unicron.
The little one?
Oh, the little ball?
Yeah. The little, like, I only see half of them here, right?
Yeah, that's Unicron.
Is it?
The Beast Wars Neo?
Here, let me get you the full-on shot I got of Unicron. This might make you cry.
Okay, I thought
this is the G1 prototype Unicron, right?
This is one of many G1 prototypes.
Okay.
And this wasn't even painted. This is still on the white plastic that they used to design these toys in.
I'm amazed that these have lasted. Like, they've actually thought enough to save them.
Yeah. What's funny, though, is this Unicron, and there's also a Wheelie that was produced that's about the same size as Rodimus Prime. They both look like the old model kits I used to put together as a kid, where you just, like, slather it in glue and never paint it. And then you pull it out of a box years later.
I can see why they didn't make this.
Yeah. This is painful to look at.
Yeah, it's almost like... you know, someone carved it out of wood and like, here, I made a Unicron.
Mm-hmm. But if you look at his feet, you can actually see where it's sheets of plastic that are glued together and then sculpted. Right. And I want to send you this Wheelie prototype too, because I like this prototype. I thought this was pretty cool. And I'm kind of sad they never made it, because it was way better than the toy we actually got, but it was probably too tall.
Okay.
Here it goes.
Can we add you as a contact?
Absolutely.
It won't let us view any pictures before you add us. Okay. Now let's try and download those again.
We'll back up the discussion.
Everyone else didn't get to see the awesome Unicron there.
We'll put links in the show notes for all the listeners so they can see everything we're talking about.
Yeah, if you're doing an enhanced podcast, you can throw these photos on there too. I give you permission.
That takes podcast. Too much editing.
Come on, man.
We'll throw them into the blog post. Unless you're volunteering to edit.
Oh, gee, look at the time.
Oh, my God. Look at this freaking mega...
Unicron?
Oh, Unicron. Oh, my God. It looks so terrible.
It is, isn't it?
That's an embarrassment.
I don't even know what happened to one of his horns. It's gone. It wasn't laying on the shelf next to him. It's just gone.
It's gone.
And, of course, there's none of the rings like you see on some of the other prototypes. So I'm wondering if this is like one of the very early prototypes, one of the first ones. But
yeah,
hard to say.
Hmm. And there's no years on any of these things, eh? They just kind of... Well,
no, unfortunately, there's no years on the signage, so I couldn't tell you exactly when they were produced.
Oh, my God, that's so ugly.
Are you crying right now?
Or is it tears of joy
that they never made it?
It's tears of joy that it never came out. Although, if it did come out, I'd own it.
Me too. And I have to admit that I'd probably have it in my collection,
Sometimes you just have to have it just for the sheer ugliness.
Sometimes you have to own a G2 toy called Windbreaker just to say you own a toy called Windbreaker.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, Wheelie's kind of ugly, but when you consider the toy we actually got versus it's this, true. Again, he bends at the elbows, you know.
He does, but he's also as big as Unicron.
Yeah, but of course, they probably would shrink him down in size, I would suspect. But still, yeah. it's better than the one we got. I mean, he actually has feet and legs.
Yeah.
You know, so I give him credit for not doing some things, and I wonder why they didn't do other toys. But
yeah, and then there's a full on Pinocchio version of Rodimus back there in the background.
Yeah,
full on wooden boy. Yeah. Wow. This stuff didn't get taken pictures of in the original stuff in the original slides we saw.
Okay,
I'm glad you got pictures of it.
You probably haven't seen the 6-shot prototype then, have you?
We did see that, just the top of it, but it looked like it was carved out of a bar of soap. So well, it's just kind of straight lines.
Here's the picture I took of it.
Okay, I'm sure yours is much better.
I try to get as many straight on good resolution pictures as I could. It was kind of hard when you're like elbowing against other otaku, so
yeah,
everyone's trying to muscle in to get a photo.
Oh yeah, that's terrible.
That's got to be a very early, probably a first try prototype, just to get the look down and the transformation.
But everything's there. Everything's all there. Yeah. Yep. That's 6-shot, you know? Yeah. It's all there.
But sometimes you use a napkin to get your first ideas down. Sometimes all you have is a bar of soap. There you go.
Yeah.
Wow. So chunky.
Yep. Now, I don't know if you guys want to see the realistic G.I. Joe Hair Optimus Primal, but... I figured maybe.
Might as well.
This is like crack for Daryl.
Yep. So that's so chunky. It's like chicken corn chowder.
Or something chunky anyways. Here it goes.
Oh, I love me some prototypes. Oh yeah, the fuzzy primal.
I've never seen this until that day. And I was like, wow. How many G.I. Joes died for this Optimus Primal before?
That's funny.
It's so amazing looking at some of these early prototypes versus what they're doing now with 3D printing. Like, even the first prototype looks so much better now.
Oh, yeah.
I can only imagine over, like, time, because how Beast Wars is 20 years now, right?
It was 96. Oh, wow. Yeah.
So,
18 years.
As the time goes on, this, like, fur would flick off and it just, you know, it'd dry out and you just, as you take it out over the years, your hands would just be covered in this faux fur and just, you just wouldn't even want to touch it.
Wasn't the He-Man Moss Man figure, didn't it have the same type of stuff?
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. And anyone who had one of the original G.I. Joes with this hair now has a G.I. Joe with balding problems.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's the same thing. Oh, such terrible, terrible stuff to put on a figure.
And you could definitely understand why they did not do that for the final release of this figure. I'm glad they went with the painted version instead.
It's amazing. Other than that, the toy is there. It's
pretty much, this was the final design. I think they were just kind of coming up with variations on it to see what looked better. And it looked cool, but no.
Yeah, I'm glad that they wised up.
They also had, for like car robots, and robots in disguise, they had a bunch of painted variations of, you know, Speedbreaker and Prowl and Crankybot.
Expron.
And some of the paint designs look really cool. I was kind of surprised they didn't make them. But then again, we got about 12 billion different variations anyways, so.
Yeah. Well, I think my very first convention toy I ever got was the Sideswipe repaint of Prowl that I bought off you.
Oh, okay. I like the Dale Earnhardt version of Speedbreaker there.
Yeah. That looks kinda cool, like that one.
And there's two mini cars in the background there that look like repaints of the Lamborghini and one of the NASCAR stock cars, but I can't... The Soundwave Megatron G2. Mm. But anyways... I thought those were pretty interesting to see how, and these are all hand painted. None of these were, you know, final production paint applications. These were, you could look close at them and see that they're brush strokes and thick paint here and there.
You can tell on the numbers on these cards. Mm-hmm. You can,
oh yeah,
you can tell they're hand painted. But yeah,
I wonder how many of these were just designers wanting to just do one for fun, just to see what it looked like.
I think that's what they may have told them to do. It's like, here's a bunch of basically palette, or not palettes, but canvases. Have fun. Come up with a design, and then they probably go through and look at them in a meeting and decide which ones were the ones they decided to produce.
Yeah.
Someone was still trying to, was still itching for G2. If you look at the one Prowl on the right in the center of the picture there,
yeah,
doesn't that look like one of the G2, what they call those, Drench, or the ones they had the color change paint where you spray it with water?
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's a good idea for toys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, current toys have almost no metal in them, so be fine. Mm-hmm.
So how would you compare this versus like BotCon or other U.S. conventions?
Well, the expo, like I said, was like a big sales pitch for the new movie, and so it probably, I'd never gone to any of the BotCons that were associated with the live action movies, but from the pictures I saw, it probably compares somewhat to that. The early BotCons I went to were from 2000 to about 2004, so mostly what those were was like a giant dealer room, and then there was side rooms where you could either watch cartoons or you could go to the voice actor panels. That was BotCons from my experience, but this one far surpassed that, although there really weren't any celebrities or voice actors you could converse with or interact with. It was mainly about the toys and mainly about the movie. So it was pretty focused in that regard. But there, the toy displays where they were showing the history of the toys and, of course, the current iterations of the toys and future iterations, such as the prototype and painted test shot of Star Saber, Masterpiece Star Saber, I thought was fantastic. It's probably one of the best displays of toys I've ever seen because I wanted all of them.
Right.
And they also had a new two-person video game for video game arcades that features a very freaky-looking Bumblebee.
Oh, I think that's that Human Alliance game.
Human Alliance, that's it.
Yeah.
And that was going on. But I think if I had to pick one particular area that was my absolute favorite of the convention, that was the art exhibit, where they had the original paintings that were used for the box art for the G1 toys.
Oh, wow.
And you actually want to see awesome. The original artwork. This was the expo to go to because they had Mirage, Hound, Fortress Maximus, Grand Maximus, the actual original paintings that were then used for the box art. And you look at them, you could see the brush strokes and the white correction fluid that was on there sometimes. And when you had the Duocons or the Pretenders, figures that had like the three different versions on the same package artwork, they would paint those as separate pieces of art and then using a razor blade cut them out and glue them together on one piece of paper.
Oh, wow.
And they had a couple of those on display there. And then they had some of the pre-Transformers artwork from the Diaclone era. And some of that was like watercolor on paper, not actual acrylic on paper. So it was quite cool to see up close this original artwork. And a lot of the back of the box artwork too was on display. So the stuff like the big battle in space over Earth with Devastator and the Dinobots, that was on display, and that was quite a big piece too.
That's cool. That's famous.
Yeah, I would love to get those as like a canvas print or something.
Oh, absolutely. And the quality and the detail on it far surpasses any CGI, any Photoshop paintings I see today.
Mm.
At least in my opinion. I know there's going to be somebody listening going, "What? Are you stupid?" But that's my opinion. So I really do like these paintings.
So when did the movie come out in Japan? If it's been out for like a month, it seems weird that they're having the timing just seems a little weird for the expo.
Actually, the day that the movie premiered was the day before we went to Tokyo for the expo.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because, of course, you got to give other countries time to have their actors loop the dialogue in their language.
Right.
Okay.
So for us, the premiere was actually August 8th.
Okay.
And August 9th was the expo.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. But you have seen the movie now.
I have seen the movie now. I somewhat regret it a little bit. I mean, you know, I'm probably going to get on my soapbox here, but I remember when I saw the second live-action movie, Revenge of the Fallen, and the characterization of Optimus Prime in that movie was one of the worst I've ever seen, where he just outright executes the Decepticon in the beginning of the movie. You know, the Fallen shall rise again. Not today. Blam!
Right.
That's not Optimus Prime. Are you kidding me?
Right.
He would not blow away and kill an enemy who is obviously defeated. And I don't think Michael Bay understands that at all. And, you know, that's one in a list of about a billion things he doesn't understand. Slow motion isn't important, Michael. Really, honest. Slow motion doesn't matter. But they did it again in the fourth movie. He's screaming, "I'll kill him!" talking about humans and talking about abandoning the Earth to the Decepticons. That's Optimus Prime? So I had a real difficult time watching this movie and hearing Optimus behave the way he was and say the lines he did and thinking, that doesn't sound like the Optimus Prime that I knew. When growing up as a kid, he was the kind of character you aspired to be. And the movie character is like, he gives up. He gets angry and threatens people. Seriously? So I had a big problem with that version of Optimus. I did like some of the setups, and I did like some of the new characters. John Goodman as Hound was a great choice.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would have liked to have seen more of Drift, because they made a big deal out of his character. I wish we would have
gotten a backstory.
Yeah, I definitely would have liked a backstory for him. Actually, a backstory for all of the Autobot characters would have been nice.
Right.
They just suddenly appear, and it's like, okay, now we've got to care about them.
How about a backstory for the Dinobots, too, and dialogue for the Dinobots?
Yeah. Well, you kind of get a little bit of a hint of who those characters are, but it really doesn't fully explain it. And I think that it's been a problem throughout all the live-action movies. You just suddenly get these characters, and you're supposed to care about them, like Jazz in the first one. You know, he was one of my favorite characters in the original cartoon and even in the comic book. And yet, in the movie, the only introduction you get is, "What's cracking, bitches?" And he sits on a car. And right. That's it. And then he dies later in the movie, and you don't really know anything about him, so you don't feel the emotional impact of his loss. You just see him later on being carried in two halves by Optimus Prime, which is kind of grotesque when you think about it. And you're supposed to feel sad? You didn't care about it to begin with because you really didn't know the character. And it's been a problem through all these movies that, you know, you get introduced to these Transformers characters, but you're not allowed to know them. And so you don't get to realize the emotional impact of when they're killed or lost. So the character of Q in the last movie, number 3, was one of those. I think that you only got to meet him one time when he's given the little gizmos to Sam and Carly. And then the next time you see him, he gets killed.
Yeah, I mean, this has been my complaint for the live-action movies, is that the Transformers are not characters. They're just treated as background props.
Yeah, exactly.
The human story is always the primary story. The Transformer story is always secondary, and it's like a very distant secondary where they're not, you know, they're given, you know, very tiny archetypes and that's it, but no real characterization.
And what's even more amusing is the title of the movie is Transformers. You kind of want to focus on that a little bit in the movie, I think.
Yeah.
But then again, my last name isn't Bay, so. Yeah.
It's too bad Yoshi wasn't on the show tonight, because I think he would agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I mean, for popcorn movies, it was fun. And, of course, I got to see it in English in 3D, so I at least got to experience that bit. But for the most part, you know, Michael Bay movies are kind of like the Jar Jar Binks of 80s products. It's fun and interesting at first. We were all excited about the prospect of a big, you know, blockbuster film based on our favorite cartoons and toys. But, you know, the same idea was with the digital characters in episode 1, and all of a sudden you get Jar Jar Binks. So, just, wow.
But I did like some of the setup that they did. They hinted at, like, when the one character hinted at the origin of the Transformers, and kind of is a nice setup for the next film, I think. And hopefully, if this new writer is any good, they'll treat the origin with some respect. But who knows?
Well, the writer might be great, but then Bay gets the script after, and as he's shooting it, he changes stuff.
Yeah, let's put testicles on the robot. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know about that story, but in the second movie, the whole reason why Devastator had wrecking balls is because Michael Bay saw it on the screen and thought, hey, let's give him some wrecking balls. Yeah, that'd be cool. And then they had to film a pickup shot with Simmons saying, I'm directly beneath the robot's scrotum. That's movie making. Wow. Yeah, I saw that, and it's on one of the extras on the second movie set, and just I was shaking my head so much after that. I'm thinking, this is how this guy makes a film. Yeah, that'll be cool. Let's do that. No, but it's not in the script. No, it'll be cool. And we'll have like giant explosions and slow motion too.
I think I said in the last show that I really wish that Hasbro would start doing some direct-to-video animation, kind of like the DC movies, where it doesn't have to be in continuity with any existing show that's going on, just standalone story by itself.
Hey, they've got a lot of material coming out of the comic books right now.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, is it the Autonomy collection or Autonomy comic books that Flint Dilly's been writing?
Autocracy.
Autocracy, sorry.
Yeah. Primacy just came out.
Primacy, okay. That story was really cool.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that animated. You know, like you said, it's not directly related to any property that's currently existing, but it's a good story. And if they faithfully animate it to what was in the comic book, I think it would make a fantastic direct-to-video animation.
I mean, DC's been knocking out of the park with some of their videos based on some of the big story arcs in the comics, but, you know, in animation, I could just see Hasbro is just leaving money on the table by not doing the same thing.
Yeah. That's because most of their money is in repaints.
Right.
Well, this is the 12th version of what character can we name now? Bumblebee. Oh no, it's Bumblebee. Not enough. We got to have 50. Oh yeah, Bumblebee. Oh man,
that's the standard.
I'm gonna bring this up because we talked about this before the show, but I had the same complaint about the Transformers Legends game on the smartphones. How many Bumblebee's cards have there now been? Like 15. They keep repeating the same characters over and over and over again.
It's gotta be like true to life.
Oh yeah. Hey, they do the same thing with the toys. Everybody loves this. Here, this is another Bumblebee.
The only thing that kept me playing that game as long as I did was the art on the cards. Right. The art is phenomenal.
I mean, they're getting some of the good artists like Marcelo Mater.
Guido's doing it.
I love the line art version of cards that he did recently.
Mm-hmm.
It was just black and white line art, inked just like a comic book style. And those were the cards that you fought against and you won later on. And it was
nice.
It was really cool. It was a nice break away from the artistic style that we've been seeing, even though that's been fantastic too.
Yeah.
But I like to see them do different styles. I would love to see Andrew Wildman have a go at this and have him create a series of cards for the game.
He's done with Transformers.
It's too bad.
Yeah, but early on, I was talking with people when I was still doing the game, and they people at that point in time wanted an art book, and you know, from the people that were doing the game, and the people, you know, they responded, and they didn't seem to be interested in putting out an art book, you know, but they responded by saying, you know, our artists are well taken care of, but at this point in time, we have no plans on putting out a book.
If they ever do put out a book, I hope to God they never go through 88 Mile Per Hour Studios. I never got my Genesis book, ever. And I wrote to this guy and wrote to this guy. I never got my Genesis book, and I got basically blown off. And just, I was really, really burned.
I think I got mine at a convention.
Yeah, I was one of the pre-order victims.
I would imagine if the TF Legends group does it, they would have to go through IDW.
I hope so.
Would be fine. I think a coffee table book with that art would just be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah. There's not a lot of Transformers books here in Japan, but they do have the Generations. I don't know if you remember the Transformers Generations book that detailed all the toys from Generation 1 and Generation 2.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They have a new version of that book out, and they've got another one that's just generations of for the Masterpiece toys.
Yes,
and, yeah, we just talked I about that.
I haven't picked up that book yet, but I have it. I've seen it at our bookstore here, and I want to buy it. So that might be my next acquisition.
I did want to ask you about the because for me over here, I had heard that Transformers as a franchise in Japan is looked at more as a younger kids show, like not toddlers, but you know, it's, you know, basically if you're into animation or anime for Japanese people, it's more, you know, Gundam and you know, that kind of stuff. You know, that's the big thing. Maybe not exactly Gundam. I'm misquoting what I'm remembering here, but Transformers as a franchise is not exactly right up there at the top of the list.
It's probably not the top, as much as I would want it to be number one. You know, nobody listens to me. But I think probably the top animation property of all time in Japan is most likely going to be Gundam. If you're going to name one, it'd probably be Gundam.
Mm-hmm.
But even Gundam doesn't have that same overt popularity you would expect it to have. And a lot of fans of anime or a lot of fans of robot stuff here in Japan aren't very overt about it. There is somewhat of a stigma involved if you're a big fan of animation.
Okay.
You know, you don't walk around wearing you know, Gundam t-shirts all the time. Although I do see people wearing One Piece and Pokemon, and then there's a current new one that's come out called Yokai Watch, which is sort of like Pokemon meets demonic cats. but animation, I think, is still one of the biggest things in Japan overall. Even if it's not overt, people probably don't advertise it like what we do back home. We carry the otaku geek label on our shoulder, on our sleeve, with pride. We're over here. With the exception of some of the socially inept, most people hide it.
You know,
if they buy a One Piece manga at the bookstore, they usually get a book cover to hide the cover so nobody knows what they're reading.
Really?
Yeah. You'll find that a lot, especially on the trains. You'll see people reading manga, but they've got the cover covered up, so you can't tell what it is that they're reading. And I'll guarantee you almost 75% of those manga books that are covered up are One Piece.
So it's, you know, like porn in the U.S.
With probably less dirty. Well, depends on the manga. But, yeah. You know, you do mention, though, an animation character or an anime, and people will speak up and say, oh, yeah, I know that, you know. But you don't want to get into, like, super in-depth discussions of some of these things, because then they start looking at you kind of funny, like, you're 42 years old and you're talking about this like this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably, it's one of those conundrums. It's very popular, but it's a hidden popularity.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as Transformers, I think you're right in one regard. It's more of a considered a younger property. So the kids in that 7 to 12 year old range,
mm-hmm.
They're really into the animation. They're really into the card collecting, the toy collecting, and so it's more focused towards that demographic. The adult collectors are more into the Masterpiece toys because of the high detail and high complexity of the transformations.
Yeah,
but also you're not, you know, buying hundreds of toys. You're buying only very specific toys.
Yeah,
and I don't even know if they call them toys. So those collectors call them toys. They might call them something else, but
collectible figures.
Collectible figures. There's one guy here in the city that is also a big Transformers fan. He owns a recording studio that I visit every once in a while because I have a lesson that I go to, a private lesson that I teach that's nearby his studio, and I'll stop in every now and then and see what new toys he's added to his collection. But you know, that's probably the only person I've met here that's a little bit more outgoing with his hobby.
Okay.
And anyone who comes to visit our house will see the toys that I've got. So that's kind of obvious.
They'll just be like, "Oh, well, he's a crazy American."
Yeah. Then I open up the shelves over here, and there's even more toys. But but yeah, I think it is one of those things where some people are afraid of getting, you know, looked at the wrong way. You know, if they sound like they're a crazy fan, so they kind of keep it more under control, more hidden.
I found the chat that I had with my Japanese friend, and he said that the most popular animation in Japan was Evangelion. Okay, I don't know how to pronounce this word. So.
Yeah, it took me 12 years to figure that one out. And I'm not even sure if it's 12 years old, but anyways.
But he said that was the most popular over there.
I disagree because I think it's popular.
Okay.
But I don't think it's the most popular. Okay. Because even though Evangelion's been around for a while, it had the animation run, it had the movies, and then they've been doing the new movies, You Cannot Restart or something like that. They had the three movies that were out recently. Okay. It's still not as popular as I think Gundam has been. And Gundam really is the animation property that started the whole giant robot thing.
Yeah.
Maybe not started, but at least kicked it into overdrive. I mean, you had the giant robots, the Raiden and Mazinga and all them beforehand, but Gundam actually put real story in with, you know, the giant robot gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
And that just has grown so much. There's this, I don't know how many different variations of Gundam now, and they've got a new one that's coming out this month.
Oh.
Reconista and G, I think it's called, something like that. The reason I know that is because the day after we went to the Transformers Expo, I dragged my wife over to Odaiba, to Diver City, to go see the 1-to-1 scale Gundam and to go to Gundam Front. But
oh, right.
So they had the advertising for that new one. But so Gundam is one of those things that is what Transformers has been doing over the last decade or so, just kind of reinventing itself. Gundam's doing the same thing. They had the... I think in the last 3 years, they've had three different Gundam series come out. So
that's pretty good.
It's kind of following the same route now. But as far as popularity, I'd say Gundam is more popular than Evangelion.
Okay.
But you're going to get a different opinion from different animation fans. Some might say, you know, a different animation. But
would Evangelion and Gundam be popular with different age brackets?
I think so. Evangelion's much more of a, you know, psychological story. Okay. And you know, it's a little bit beyond me, but I'd say more that adult fans would be into Evangelion, and younger fans are probably more into things like Transformers and Gundam over here.
Sure.
But, you know, if the Expo is any indicator, there are a lot of adult fans in Japan of Transformers. They may not show it, but they're definitely here.
Now, I'm going to play the naive card because I am completely naive on it. I know what Gundam is because it's been around forever. But I have no idea what Evangelion is. Can you kind of give me a quick synopsis on what Evangelion is?
Not even on a good day.
Okay, good. Okay.
Go to Wikipedia.
The only thing I can tell you is there are three main characters.
Two of the names about angels, I think.
And there's angels that are apparently attacking Earth. And then they have these giant robots called... Evangelions, I think. I'm probably way off on that, but there's I'm trying to think of a simple way to describe this, but I think the best quote I can give you is from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. When you're watching this movie, it's kind of like having your brain smashed between two bricks wrapped in gold. So it is the anime equivalent of a pangalactic gargle blaster.
Well, and we did mention a couple of months ago, they're doing some kind of crossover with Transformers.
Evangelion? They have an Evangelion Optimus Prime.
It's like a purple MP10 Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I'll find it for you. I'll find a picture.
Oh, I definitely got to see this.
Mike, you mentioned some of the comics. So, do you read the regular comic series that are out right now?
Unfortunately, no. The only one I really got was the one from Flint Dilly, the
Autocracy.
Autocracy.
Yeah. Well, that was the first part of a trilogy.
One, yeah, I bought that one on my iPad to read, and it's really been the only digital comic book I've purchased. And I had kind of forgot about it, so I haven't gone back to get the other ones yet.
Yeah, it was followed by Monstrosity, and then Primacy just started.
Okay. So I should probably log back into my app there and get the other ones and read them. But really, comic books, was it Dreamwave?
Dreamwave
was involved in the comic books. That, I kind of got back into comics then. And there was a big contest where you put in your name and you win the different prizes, which were like signed copies of the comic books. And I won the grand prize for that event.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
And then they never sent me the comics.
What?
And I kept emailing them and asking them, when are you guys going to send it? Did you ship it? Is it lost in the mail? They never sent it until finally, like 8 months, 9 months later, Candace Chan, who was working at Dreamwave at the time, was handling the problem. And she finally got the comic books together, and she got the artist to sign the covers and sent them to me. And she was apologizing so much about it. She actually sent me extra comic books that were unrelated to Transformers but had the artist's signatures on them.
That's cool.
And I still have those socked away in my storage back home in the States, that's buried somewhere 700 feet below Seattle, Washington.
Well, I mean, judging from how Dreamwave ended up, you got lucky that you got it at all.
I feel very lucky I got anything.
There were artists and creators that just got shafted.
Paid. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's one of two names in Transformers fandoms that when you mention it, people start to hiss and give you the evil eye.
Yeah, Pat Lee, yeah.
Pat Lee and the guy who used to run 3H Enterprises.
Glenn Hallett.
Glenn Hallett, that's the other one. Yeah, I'm still burned about that MPC. MPC? No. SFC Skywarp figure that they promised for people who signed up for the fan club. They had that on display at one of the OTFCCs, the first one. And it was Mega SFC. That's what it was. And they promised that anyone who signed up for the fan club would get the magazine, get 4 issues a year, and you get the figure. And I paid, I think, like $100 to sign up for this thing. And I thought it was a legitimate deal. You know, it's worth doing if you're going to get the figure and you're going to get the magazine. It's about $100. And then we got 1 issue and no figure. And then the 3H Enterprises collapsed.
Mm.
So, yeah, that was not good.
And say what you will about FunPub, they've actually, you know, overall been doing a pretty decent job.
And from what I've seen, you know, from some of the pictures that have come out, it looks like it's been pretty good. But I have not personally gone to any of their cons yet, so I don't know firsthand whether it's really that good. But I hear complaints just like you hear complaints about anything.
There are going to be complaints every time, but I've been to 2 of them. Charles just went to his first BotCon, this last one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The first BotCon I went to was back in 2000, and that was focused pretty much on Beast Wars, Beast Machines. They had Venus Turzo there, and it was the first time I realized that she was the voice actress for Black Arachnia. And it was the first time I realized that, you know, some of these voice actors are pretty hot.
Yeah.
They also had John Moshida was there, the voice of Blur for the movie in the third season. And who else did they have there? They had Vince DiCola was there. He's been to almost all the BotCons that I could think of, except for a few. But that one was in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and that was pretty small for the time it was. And now I look at the pictures today, and it's like, whew, boy, this thing's gone huge.
Mm-hmm.
So any other questions?
I think that's everything I had. You guys have any other questions?
The toy show, convention you were at had exclusives. Did you pick any of those up?
Yes, I did. I wound up getting the premium tickets, one for me and my wife, and got 2 of the exclusive Slag toys. I won't call him Slug. I think it's a dumb name.
Okay.
I also picked up the convention exclusive Nemesis Prime, like we've never heard that name before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's kind of an interesting story they've got on the back of the box. Again, this is a little bit different. The packaging actually has the Japanese printed on the packaging but the back of it has the story or the bio of the character in both English and Japanese.
Oh.
And in English it says, Nemesis Prime is a clone of Optimus Prime built by an organization that secretly studies Transformers technology. When the organization tried to build him, they had made a serious error on the connection between his body and mind, which made him extremely berserk and free from human control. The mechanical frames that form his body are decaying. As he rots, belching black smoke and evil smell, he has only one thought on his mind, vengeance against those who created such an ugly being. And he's got a Decepticon symbol, but he's just black and silver and the green.
Wow.
He's based on the Optimus Prime at the beginning of the movie, the evasion mode.
Yeah.
And the Slag figure looks pretty nice. I posted up a bunch of pictures on Facebook of him. As far as color scheme is concerned, I haven't compared it against one of the original toys yet to see how they did it, but it looks pretty good for being a movie toy.
One of the exclusives offered was one of the was a transport truck Optimus, but didn't transform, correct?
No. That truck was there. The actual truck was there, but the toy that you're referring to was not available there.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yes.
I don't know what I'm thinking about then.
Yeah, I know the truck that you're talking about because it was there, and when the side opens up, it's got a giant bust of G1 Optimus Prime. I got a picture of that.
Okay.
The truck is painted like G1 Optimus Prime.
Yes.
It's not a tractor trailer type. It's one of those all-in-one, you know, cab with the single frame.
Okay.
But it's the typical delivery truck that usually you'll see at the warehouses delivering to distribution centers.
Okay.
The sides actually open up instead of the back, and they open up kind of like gull wing doors. It's really kind of cool.
Huh.
Are you familiar at all with this? There was an event in Tokyo in April called Transform Market. Have you heard of that?
No, I did not hear about that. That was in April?
Yeah, it was April 20th, because some of the artists who work on the current Transformers comic books went to that event. Like, it was like one of the first times some American artists came to that event.
I was not aware of it, or if I was, I'd completely forgotten about it.
Because the artist who drew that Autocracy book was there, Livio Ramondelli.
Oh, okay. No, I was not aware of it, or again, if I heard about it, I'd forgotten about it. So there's very few, if any, Transformers related events here. I try to keep an eye on the Takara Transformers website, but it's kind of hard to tell unless I get a translation from another site what is being talked about on there. Mm-hmm. And usually any of the events are store based events, so it's something you have to go to the store to buy something to get.
Hopefully with the attendance that they had for that expo, they might start doing more events.
Oh yeah. And one of the things that my wife told me that she was a little bit surprised about, she thought Transformers was popular, but she didn't think it was as popular as it was, because there were a lot of people there for that first day. And I don't know what the attendance numbers were, because I haven't looked that up. But for a 7 or 8 day long event, I'm almost certain that they had a pretty steady crowd, which shows that the popularity of the show is still big.
Right.
So that's good. But if I have one complaint about the expo, we spent 4 hours there, and half of that time was just standing in line waiting to get to the checkout register. Oh, I'm not kidding either. 2 hours standing in line waiting to get to the checkout register.
That sounds like my registration line at BotCon a couple of years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the picture. That's the figure that I was thinking about, just to confirm that we were thinking about the same thing.
Yep, that's the one. That truck was there. The real truck was there. And okay. The one thing I like about this is the two front sets of tires, they're steering tires.
Oh, cool.
So it's, I don't know if you've ever seen any of the old Macross art books or anything like that, but their vehicles, even the cars, had steering wheels like that, where they have four steering wheels on the front of the vehicles. And these trucks actually do that.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Huh. I thought it was really neat. I remember when I originally saw this picture, I thought if they're making a toy of this, you know, I need to get this. But, you know.
Yeah, I think the toy you can get, it's produced by Takara, but it's kind of like a matchbox sized version of the toy. I think I have seen it at one of the shopping malls that's around here.
But it's not a like a full on Transformer kind of thing.
No, it's not a Transformer. It's just like I said, a matchbox car basically.
Yeah. Okay.
That'd be kind of cool if they did make that a Transformer, though.
Yeah.
So I think we should do the rapid fire to close out the interview.
Rapid fire?
Yeah, we have a series of rapid fire questions that we've been asking our guests.
Me and not having coffee today. Go ahead.
Did you want me to do those, or did you want to do them, Daryl?
No. Your guest. You do them.
All right. Okay, so this is just off the top of your head, the first thing that comes to mind. So are you ready?
Okay.
All right. So Autobot or Decepticon?
Autobot.
Right. Who is your favorite Autobot?
Jazz.
Okay. Live action movie, 1, 2, 3, or 4?
3.
Okay. Megan Fox, Rosie Huntington-Wheatley, or Nicola Peltz?
None of the above.
Okay. you said you don't read the comics, but More Than Meets the Eye or Robots in Disguise, which are the two ongoings. You don't read
just
them.
Just based on a title, I'd go with More Than Meets the Eye.
Okay, well, that was the correct answer.
Thank you. Right. What did I win?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. Third-party toys, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Cats or dogs?
Yes.
All right. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Chicken or steak?
Steak.
Pepsi or Coke?
Pepsi.
Burger King or McDonald's?
I'd have to go with McDonald's because there's no Burger King in Kagoshima.
All right. History or science?
Yes.
All right. Xbox or PlayStation?
PlayStation.
Call of Duty or Battlefield?
Neither.
I know the answer to this one. PC or Mac?
Mac.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
All right. What iPhone app can you not live without?
I have to name one.
You can give a couple if you can't narrow it down.
Well, definitely a photo. I have to take a look at my list here. iCalendar, Transformers Legends, Line, and Video.
Okay. Marvel or DC?
Isn't it the same thing now? Marvel.
No. All right. Who's your favorite Marvel character?
Ooh, Optimus Prime.
All right. I guess technically that's right.
I could technically say favorite because he was in the Marvel comics.
Yeah.
If you want to go with non-Transformer Marvel character, my favorite Marvel character was, this is an obscure one. I don't know if any of you know him. His name was Starbrand.
I was never a Marvel guy.
I'm not familiar.
I don't know him, no.
Okay, it's very obscure. But if you look him up, you'll probably see what I'm talking about. It was a very cool comic for its time.
Okay, well, that'll be homework. Stallone or Schwarzenegger?
Stallone.
Scarlett Johansson or Angelina Jolie?
Scarlett Johansson.
Twilight or Hunger Games?
Are you serious?
Just to get a good picture of who you are.
Neither.
Correct answer. Pixar or DreamWorks?
Pixar.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Simpsons or Family Guy?
Family Guy.
Walking Dead or Game of Thrones?
Yes.
NFL, MLB, NHL, or NBA?
NHL.
Yeah! I don't know how this keeps happening, guys.
Almost everyone we ask.
NHL?
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I got to be honest with you. I'm a fan of a lot of different sports, but recently, and I've been a fan of the Buffalo Sabres since way back in the 70s, so this goes back a ways. But NHL still is fun. Mm-hmm. And NFL, NASCAR, NBA, you've got too much money, too many rules, too many things that are making the game not fun anymore to watch or probably even to play. NHL hasn't had that problem yet, and it's still pretty much the pure sport that it's been for the last couple of decades, in my opinion. There's been some changes, of course, but it's still fun to watch. I love go to the games, and I love to watch it online over here. I still try to keep up with the games when I can.
And there's fighting, and they are always fighting. I love it.
Yeah, and if there's fighting in other games, it's bad. But if there's fighting in hockey, that's just a part of the game.
It's just a whatever. Goalies can fight. Oh, it's great.
I still don't understand it. All right, two more questions.
You got to go to a game, man. You got to go to a game.
guy lives in Pittsburgh and doesn't go to a Pittsburgh Penguins game. He's got the greatest player in the damn league in his freaking town. I wouldn't go to
a Pittsburgh Penguins game either.
I've been to one minor league hockey game. That's it.
Yeah, you got to go up north a ways to Erie. Go see an Erie Otters game. A smaller team game first before you go to a big NHL game will help a lot. Because there's always.
I forgot. I went to a Dallas Stars game a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Didn't know what was going on there either. What?
How much sleep did you get?
How much sleep?
Dallas Stars.
Yeah, I wasn't really paying attention to the game that much. I was watching Twitter.
Ah, okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. All right. So two more questions.
All right.
Porsche, Ferrari, or Lamborghini?
Oh, boy. I'd have to go with Lamborghini.
All right. And blonde, brunette, or redhead?
My wife's not going to listen to this, right?
That's entirely up to you, I think.
Actually, she's, I don't know, brunette.
That's probably a wise answer.
Yep. I have to go with what I chose.
And you can always edit the MP3 and chop that last part out.
Yeah. I'm dead anyway. She probably heard me. She's moving around right now, so...
All right. Well,
I'm dead quite often.
We all are. We're all married.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on. Do you want to share a way people can talk to you online, like Twitter?
I don't do Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty much just a private fan now. I used to have a website, but ever since Apple's website hosting went down, I haven't found another host to put my website back up at yet, but I still keep the domain. So someday, DackRoland.com may come back.
Are you still active on any of the forums?
I visit TFW 2005 sometimes, but I don't really. I'm not really active on there. If you really wanted to find me on Facebook, the Transformers Legends fans group is where I'm pretty much most active on.
Okay.
But
cool. Well, thanks again for coming on. It's been fun.
Not a problem. Thanks. Love thanks to do for, it again.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Anytime. Yeah.
Thanks for giving us a different perspective from expatriate in Japan. Away. Yeah.
No problem. And there's probably a lot of stuff I forgot to talk about, but, you know, we can always do the follow-up episode, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Sounds good.
And I'll be in touch for hooking up myself up with exclusive Japanese toys.
As long as you pay me first.
Of course.
Got to PayPal it to me first, and then I can send it.
Yep, of course. I mean, I got to, you know, got to give you a little coin, too. Line your pockets, right?
Hey, okay, I like that. That's a good idea.
That's a good thing about Canadians. They're overly polite.
We know how the world works. That's just how it is.
It's because of the cold.
Right.
There you go.
All right.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, so thanks again to Mike for joining us on this episode and giving us some insights from Japan. And just want to remind everyone, we still have our listener contest going on, so send in your entries, a 60-second audio clip telling us about your favorite moment from the podcast or from the 30 years of Transformers, and you can have a chance to win a Windblade toy, win the Windblade trade paperback, and get a chance to be a guest host on our podcast. So... that's still going on. Get your entries in and get in the contest. And of course, you know, if you like what we're doing, please remember to give us some feedback, give us some ratings on iTunes, rate us on Stitcher. It would be really great if we can, you know, get feedback from our listeners, and that helps grow the show and get more people listening to us. And that's always good. So thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Have a good one.
Thanks for picking up our transmission. Give us feedback on our website at www.transmissionspodcast.com, where you can find all of our contact info on social media and links to all of our show notes discussed in each episode. You can also email us directly at feedback@transmissionspodcast.com.